This is a special Occupation Nation edition of the Mike Malloy Show.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
Oh, it's real.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. One way or another, it is coming to the USA. Hell, I'd say it's here. Are you paying attention? Hey, welcome, Truth Seekers. This is your Mike Malloy Show. I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and occupier of your public airwaves tonight, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, drafted into duty one more night here to be the media, broadcasting live from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank at the K-Talk AM 1150 studios. Glad you could join us tonight. Mike has been off the last three nights, although he's checked in here for the last couple of nights, from the D.C. protest, the Occupy Washington, D.C.org protests, previously known as October2011.org. Where they have been occupying, they have begun the occupation of Washington, D.C., following on the occupations, of course, of Wall Street and all around this nation. And I couldn't be more delighted about it. It smells like democracy to me, but the good kind, not the kind we usually smell around here. So glad you could join us. 3 hours of live broadcasting tonight. And, we got another big show for you, as usual. Coming up a little bit later, we've got a guy by the name of Greg Pallas. You may have heard of him, a BBC investigative journalist. You know, it's funny with Pallas. Pallas showed up in one of these emails that they were able to squeeze out of the Bush administration. One of Karl Rove's emails referred to Greg Pallas as that British journalist. He's actually not British at all, but he does work for the BBC. He will be joining us here tonight to speak about his new book, Uber Vultures? Wait a minute, what's it called? Let me see. I had to prepare before the show. His new book, Vultures Picnic, A Tale of Oil, Sex, Radiation, and Investigative Reporting. Looking forward to that, and we'll be talking about his new article at Truthout today called Uber Vultures, The Billionaires Who Would Pick Our President. I have a feeling the Koch brothers are going to come up into that. Into that discussion. I will look forward to that. And by the way, if you don't remember, or if you missed it or a little bit earlier in the week, I had mentioned that when I was guest hosting for Malloy back in July or August, or was it July? Yeah, I think it was July. Yeah. And see, there was Tony actually talking during the show. Well done. I think it was July. I had been working on a big article, series of articles. One of them I had complained when I came on the air that I had overwritten it and deleted it and lost it entirely. And that, in fact, was the second part of the two-part series that I ran at Mother Jones a few weeks back about the secret Koch tapes that you may have heard of, where Charles Koch came out and alluded to Saddam Hussein as the, alluded to Barack Obama as Saddam Hussein, talked about the mother of all wars that he and brother Charles, brother David, were preparing to wage to get their White House back, as they saw it. These were secret tapes that I posted at bradblog.com secret tapes. Is that the way to put it? They were secretly recorded, we'll put it that way, at their secret meeting, the Koch brothers' secret meeting out in Vail, Colorado in June. And the second night, of the second part of the story was Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, and his secret keynote speech that he gave for the Koch brothers and the billionaire titans that had gathered out there in Vail, Colorado. They gathered there. They are waging war. They are invited. You are not. We're going to be talking about some of that tonight with Greg Palast. And the man that he says, oh, don't worry about the Koch brothers. Worry about the guy that they take orders from. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also speak with Ernest Canning, attorney and legal contributor to The Brad Blog, who has some thoughts on the occupations that continue to grow around the nation and why and how they're different than the Tea Party. Or are they? We'll find out. We'll hash that out. I've actually been arguing that there's a lot of Tea Partiers across the nation, people who originally joined that movement because they were genuinely ticked off at the notion that, remember, the government had put billions of dollars into the banks, paid them off to keep them alive, socialized the banks, these corporations, these huge corporations became socialized to save their life because they had screwed it up under crony capitalism that allowed them to basically give away the store. So to save our economy, we gave them our tax dollars, and what did they do? They turned around, they started giving out bonuses with all of this free tax money that they got from us. The government welfare that Citibank was enjoying, that Bank of America was enjoying, that AIG was enjoying, they turned around and they started giving out million-dollar bonuses to their executives. And when they were called on it, they said, oh, well, we have to do that. Otherwise, we'll lose these people. It's don't you know anything about competition and capitalism? Jerks. So, yeah, everyone got a little ticked off. It wasn't for about 5 minutes, it was not a right or left thing. It was a right and wrong thing. And that, of course, that movement, that anger became co-opted by the liars, cheats, and scoundrels of Koch Industries and of Karl Rove Productions. And the entire thing was co-opted by the Republican Party and turned into a, gosh darn that Obama, what a terrible guy he is. And, oh, too much government spending. Yeah, that's the problem. Oh, and too much regulation. It's killing jobs. It was lack of regulations that killed your jobs, America. Anyway, yeah, so that's how the Tea Party sort of kicked off. That, of course, followed on the real Tea Party, which was Ron Paul's 2007 Tea Party, where intellectually honest, whether you agree with them or not, you know, they came out and said, this is crazy what's going on, what the government is doing, the corporatocracy, and the wars, and George Bush, and his insane military spending. So there was a lot of people who joined that Tea Party movement who I will argue were duped by the right wingers, were duped by Fox News, and were co-opted and were cheated and were lied to. Those people, that anger, that's what you're seeing blossoming in Wall Street. That's what you're seeing blossoming all around this country, where people are occupying their cities, where they're taking back their government, their public spaces, where they are saying enough. That's the same anger. So I'd love to hear tonight from folks in the Tea Party who realize how they were lied to and scammed and cheated by the scoundrels at Fox, at Rove Productions, at Koch Industries. And realize that those people out there occupying Wall Street and everywhere else around this nation right now, those people, those are you. That was your movement. That was your Tea Party before it was co-opted by the corporatists. So, I would love to see folks from that Tea Party walking out with the occupiers and saying, yes, we are with you. We are with you. We have had enough. Because it's the same fight. It's the same struggle. But there are differences between these two groups that I know Ernie Canning wants to talk about tonight, so he will be on the air to talk with us. We'll also be keeping the third hour, as much as I can, completely open to hear from occupiers around the nation. You will need this phone number, 877-520-1150. That's our number here, 877-520-1150. Write it down, because I want to hear from Occupation Nation in hour three, if not before. We may open up the phone lines. We'll see. But definitely hour number three, spread the word high and low from Wall Street to Main Street to San Francisco. Occupy San Francisco. Occupy L.A. Occupy Austin. Occupy DFW. Everywhere in between. Occupy St. Louis. My peeps in St. Louis. Thank you for your occupation. I'd love to hear from you tonight, too. So that will be hour three. And what other business? Oh, yes, our chat room is open and already lively. Stop by bradblog.com. Meet our lovely moderators. For Earth is there. Desi is there. Dale is there. I suspect Jeannie Dean will be there unless she's down at the Occupy LA protest tonight, but we'd love to see you there. Just come on by bradblog.com, click through the very first item. You'll find the chat room. All are welcome. Also, you can tweet me throughout the night at the Bradblog. Got it? I am the Bradblog over on Twitter. Have I taken care of everything? Should I go to a... Let's go to a quick break, and I will come back with a few more items that are coming out today that are driving me absolutely nuts. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Oh, yes, we do. And oh, yes, we will. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. I was just got a call from the election board director of Venango County, Pennsylvania, where they have been kicking off a unprecedented examination of their terrible ESNS Ivotronic touchscreen voting systems out there. He wanted to come on the air and chew the fat a bit, but we only have a few minutes here, so I'm going to have him call in next hour. Hopefully we can hear from him and hear how that landmark independent investigation of those crappy 100% unverifiable voting systems are going out there in Pennsylvania. The same ones, by the way, the Ivotronic. Those are the machines that that elected Alvin Green down there as the U.S. Senate, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate in South Carolina. Remember Alvin Green? The guy who no one ever heard of, who didn't have a job, who had no money, who didn't do any campaigning, who had no campaign staff, but somehow ended up winning the nomination for the U.S. Senate for the Democratic Party in 2010 on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines down there in the state of South Carolina. And by the way, those are going to be used again this year, because the people who run elections in South Carolina don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about democracy. So that's what you guys have in store for you in South Carolina, unless you do something about it. And, of course, you're not the only ones. Those same touchscreen voting systems are used all across the nation. Are you going to stand for it? Again? Couple of items here, so we'll talk. We'll have him top of the second hour. Thanks for checking in, Craig. I'll look forward to that. A couple of quick items here before we got to go to the bottom of the hour. CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, came out with a scoring of Obama's job plan today. Found that the millionaire's surtax would raise $453 billion over the next 10 years. And that the jobs bill would cut the deficit. Okay, so the jobs bill would cut the deficit. The millionaire surtax would raise billions of dollars. Isn't that what the Tea Party is calling for? Isn't that what the Republicans were calling for? Jobs? They want jobs, right? Jobs, jobs, jobs. And, oh, cut that deficit. Well, that's what, of course, this would do. And what are the Republicans doing? They're blocking a legitimate vote on it. Because they don't want Barack Obama to succeed. And whatever you think about it, this is not in support, by the way, of Barack Obama. What I'm saying here is they will do anything to keep Obama from succeeding because they don't give a damn about this country. They're willing to see it go down in flames. They're willing to let you to see you lose your house, lose your job, lose your health insurance. They don't give a damn. And that's why people are marching in Wall Street. That's why people are rising up all around this country. Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, here's an item, just spent $60,000 on iPads. Now, remember that emergency budget that they had to take away rights from working people? They had to take away rights. They had to bring in the big government to take away rights from citizens to negotiate, to compete. This was a budget emergency. They had to do it. Well, now they've spent $60,000 on iPads, purchasing 73 tablets for an office that has 63 employees. That's for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. You see, of course, that too was a lie. It was never about budgets. It was about big government taking away your rights, the rights of we the people. Are you pissed off yet, Tea Party? Are you ready to join the occupation now? Mitt Romney said today he wants to be elected so that he can restore military supremacy to the U.S. Hello? What world are you living in? No military supremacy already at the here in the U.S.? How much more can we? How much more supreme could we be, Mitt Romney? And oh, his foreign policy advisors, they're all from the George W. Bush administration. So you want more of that? You see why people are ticked off? You see why they are saying enough, enough, enough? Enough. The uprising continues right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Greg Palast joins us next. No, I ain't no senator's son either. I ain't no fortunate son. I was not born like the Koch brothers into billions of dollars. Charles and David Koch, who want to take away all of the help that you might get from the government, to take away all of the regulations that keep you alive. You know, give you, you know, stuff like clean air, clean water. Who needs that, big government? No, we weren't born into wealth like the Kochs, who inherited their father's chemical and oil conglomerate. And yet they get to make the rules. You don't. Why? Because they have bought pretty damn near everyone in politics. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. My next guest has a book coming out November 14th, speaking about just these things. Of course, he has been speaking about these things for years. The rest of the nation is finally catching up with him and his reports on the Koch brothers and Koch industries and how they've been robbing us blind for years, robbing this nation blind. Buying votes, buying senators, buying congressmen, buying everything they need that you can't afford to buy. And it's getting worse in the wake of the Citizens United decision that allows guys like Charles and David Koch to give as much as they want. And by the way, they are now worth $50 billion, the two of them together. They made their personal wealth increased $18 billion over the last 3 years since Barack Obama has been in office. And instead of sending Barack Obama a thank you note, they want to send him a pink slip. They have gone to war with him, as you can read in my exclusives over at Mother Jones, two-part exclusive with those secret Coke tapes. Just hear what they're saying about Barack Obama. This terrible man who has catapulted them into, I mean, $18 billion they've made while they've been firing thousands of you people. You suckers. You chumps. Isn't that odd? I thought they were the job creators. My mistake. Anyway, here to talk about that, Greg Palast. You may have heard of him. He's an investigative reporter, New York Times best-selling author of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy and Armed Madhouse. His investigative reports are broadcast by BBC Television's Newsnight, and his new book, Vulture's Picnic, A Tale of Oil, Sex, Radiation, and Investigative Reporting, will be released by Penguin USA on November 14th. And he writes today at Truthout about Uber vultures, the billionaires who would pick our president. And I'm guessing a couple of those billionaires are Charles and David Koch, but there are more. And he's here to talk about it. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Glad to be with you, Brad. I just hear you moaning about our job creators, like the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
You know, they've been creating. It's interesting. I've been investigating how they've been creating jobs for the last 15 years
in the healthcare industry, taking care of the people they're killing. And go ahead.
Well, you know, they did hire a few people still doing industrial work. They hired truckers to actually, what they were doing is they were the source of the $50 billion of Koch brothers wealth.
Mm-hmm.
One third of their stake, their initial stake, all of it was inherited from Daddy.
Right.
Daddy Koch, who's founded, by the way, the John Birch Society.
Right.
Though he himself made his money by cutting a deal, an oil refining deal with Joe Stalin.
Let's not talk
about that. Okay, yes. Let's talk about how his sons, though, made money the old-fashioned way. They stole it from the Indians.
Literally. Yes, they did. Yes.
What they did was, and Charles and David, with their Operation Koch Industries, had a deal with the Osage Indian Reservation. That's where they got their oil,
mm-hmm.
where they took oil from the reservation. And they not like big pipes and stuff. These very, very poor Indians in Oklahoma. They had a bunch of wells over their property, and the trucks would actually come and take a few barrels a week and just collect it in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would come and take, you know, 10, 15 barrels of oil and write down that they took 5 or 6 barrels of oil. Literally, they were just basically not paying the natives. It's the old game. You know, they were taking the oil and just not marking it down. And you say, okay, well, I mean, come on. Dave and Charles Koch were billionaires by this time already. They each worth about $1 billion each. Just mm-hmm. one, not 50. Just $1 billion each from Daddy.
This was back in the 90s,
early 90s,
right?
80s. And what happened was they were taking, you know, a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there. It was, in fact, personally, I have witnesses. When I say I have witnesses, I spoke to the FBI agents. I spoke to the people in their company.
Mm-hmm.
They said Charles Koch, one of the, you know, with his brother,
mm-hmm.
but Charles Koch personally ordered the theft. He actually gathered his truckers together and said, "I want to see what they called it overage, and it was taking more than you're counting."
Right, they had.
I want to see that overage. And so what happened was, now here's the thing: it was him personally. Now the story, I know Bloomberg just did a story on the Kochs. They mentioned that Koch in industries took oil, and they paid a few. They had to pay back the Indians a few dollars, $25 million.
Well, because clarify, Greg, they were so they had a license. They were legally drilling there, but they were just mismeasuring how much they were taking out, right, on purpose to essentially skim $1.5 billion off the top, right?
And let's put it this way: if you work at a gas station, right,
mm-hmm.
and someone gives and you give someone, you know, 8 gallons of oil, of gas, and you charge them 10, you do that a couple days, and you go to the hooscow.
Right.
But what about Charles Koch? This wasn't just something done at a low level, and they didn't know. Now, understand what this involves, especially the price of oil in those days. It involved taking, you know, $15, $20 a week from some Indian family on a reservation. This is what, you know, this is their survival money. $15 or $20 a week, a billionaire personally did it. Now, he had an executive who was wired, who's wearing a wire.
Right.
Okay. And the executive talked about how he asked Koch, he said, you go to a camp, you know, because after all, you go to, you know, it's prison. It's theft, right?
Right.
For you and me, it's theft. For the Kochs, it's job creating.
Just a day.
I confuse it.
Just that all in a day's work.
If it's over a billion, it's job creation. But, you know, if it's not a billion, so you would go to – to me, the interesting one is that Charles Koch said – he said, why do you do this? Why do you take a couple bucks from the Indians every week? And he said, because I want – everything that's coming to me, and that's all of it. And all of it means the White House or whatever you need. So that's part of the game.
And so whatever happened, Greg, to that Charles Koch investigation? Because I think I recall that this was aired.
Right.
Some of this was on like 60 Minutes back in, 2002, 2003? Was there ever an investigation into this theft of oil?
Well,
why the hell
that,
is Charles not in jail?
By the way, back in 96, we filmed at BBC, and then in 98 for The Guardian, what was left out of this story was that Koch personally ordered the theft. Obviously, his twin brother knew about it. No criminal charges. They didn't have to give back the $1.5 billion that they took in oil. The thing was, according to the FBI agents and others in the Justice Department, that indictments were prepared for Charles Koch and his brother. Criminal charges for Charles, you know, cuff him, read him his rights. He's a thief, right?
Right.
And then, but they not only owned oil wells, they owned two senators, Dole and Nichols. Of Kansas.
Right.
They're from Wichita. They're from Wichita, these guys. And they basically own these guys.
That's right.
And they grabbed, and Nichols and Dole made sure that the cuffs were off, and these guys got off totally scot-free. And that's why, that's why the FBI agents came to me and a couple of other reporters. By the way, I couldn't get the U.S. press interested in this. I couldn't take hostages to get this story. Remember, I printed the story about the theft by the Koch brothers in The Guardian in Britain.
Yeah, but, I know.
And, you know, in the U.S., for those who know Greg Palast, I write for the Guardian.
Right.
And in Britain, and you can hear from my accent, it's the only place I can get this information out. But there's a creepy...
No, I thought you were that British journalist that Karl Rove was talking about.
Yeah,
but that's... Okay.
Rove always talks about that British journalist.
That's right.
Because he's trying to take away my passport. I guess he can under Patriot Act 3 if you say too many things about the Kochs, they take away your passport and your citizenship. But I wanted to give you something special, Brad,
right,
that I hadn't put out in this article in Truth Out, which people should read, especially because there's a cute little video. And I do apologize in advance for the nipples in the video. I got a lot of complaints. Apparently there's some nipples.
Now, see, you're just saying there's nipples in the video, so people are going to rush over there to watch it. Smartly done, Palast.
My nipples, and they're not going to not
well,
be
now,
very
well, don't now, tell them that they're your nipples. Now nobody's going
well,
over
they,
there.
They aren't. That's why I got the complaint. But anyway, but the thing is, if you looked at the New York Times article about the billionaires, the Koch brothers, a guy named Paul Singer, who's, by the way, who's called the Vulture. I didn't give him that name. A guy I've been investigating for my book, Vulture's Picnic. His name is Paul the Vulture Singer. That's Koch. That's the Koch brothers' political buddy. And Ken Langone, another political billionaire. And by the way, you know Ken Langone, Brad, because he was the guy, if you remember, you know, Americans who know me as the reporter who busted the story about how Catherine Harris
right.
knocked off thousands of black folks off the voter rolls in Florida in 2000.
Florida 2000, yeah.
It was because I was doing an investigation of Langone.
Uh-huh.
And he was the money, one of the guys with a couple of other Republican bigs, behind the creation of Database Technologies, which is the company that came up with the scrub list with the black voters.
Where so they took where they knocked 20,000 supposed felons off the list, and most or all of them were not felons at all. Ken Langone, by the way, I just want to point out, the founder of Home Depot.
He likes to think of himself as, you know, the little, he likes to portray himself as a little hardware guy with the blue apron, you know, silly little screws and stuff. He's an investment banker who was, by the way, a guy named Elliot Spitzer busted him for criminal conspiracy manipulation of the stock market. And then someone named Ken Langone had Elliot Spitzer followed. Now, I know that Elliot Spitzer was, you know, his extracurricular activities, you know, were a little bit dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
But how did that happen? There's a lot of dodgy characters, and called Vitter the, I can't use the word on the air, Senator Vitter, the Republican of Louisiana,
uh-huh.
who liked to be diapered by the Washington madam. He liked to run around in diapers.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in the Senate. Okay,
yes,
but Elliot Spitzer, Langone got him because it was Spitzer who nailed Langone. But it was Langone who, by the way, got off the charges because, after all, whose court is it? It's the guy that he made president with his scrub list.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Well, I got to take a quick break here. Greg Pellis.
Oh, yeah, there's more.
I know there is. We're coming back. We're going to get the rest of the story on Ken Langone. We're going to find out who this Paul the Vulture Singer is. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show with Greg Pellis. Stay with us.
So much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine.
Welcome back to The Molloy Show, 52 minutes after the hour. Glad you could be with us. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Molloy, speaking with Greg Pallast, who has a new book coming out next month, November 14th. Pre-order now. Vulture's Picnic, A Tale of Oil, Sex, Radiation, and Investigative Reporting. I'm sure it will include nipples. That's what Greg wanted us to know. And, let's see. You can, Greg, can you order at GregPallast.com?
Yeah, or Amazon.com. Oh, I shouldn't give them a boost, but, you know, but go to GregPallast.com.
There you go.
And you can also get a lot of the stories for free. Don't tell that to Amazon, though.
I will. Okay, yeah. Now listen, I want to make sure, because we're coming up at the top of the hour, so I'm going to make sure we get these in. Ken Langone, buddy of the Kochs, the founder of Home Depot, the guy who helped create the scrub list down in Florida, the felons scrub list down in Florida in 2000. Let's close the loop on him, and then we'll get over to Paul the Vulture Singer.
Yeah, all I can say, the Spitzer tried to close the loop on him, and I don't advise anyone else to. It was Langone who had him trailed and got him. And so Langone ended up getting out of his charge of conspiracy against the stock market.
They dropped the charges against him after they got Spitzer? Is that how it went?
Yeah, because what happened was that there was a technicality, and then rather than, of course, the replacement for Spitzer, Cuomo, was afraid to take any action against Langone, got well rewarded by Mr. Langone, and ended up on his transition committee.
Mm. And all of those guys, Langone and the Kochs and Paul Singer, these were the
Paul
guys
Singer.
Who were working together to try to get Chris Christie, my old pal, to jump into the presidential race to save the Republican bacon.
That's right, because they're pretty desperate. They need to go back to be landlords of the White House. In case of Paul the Vulture Singer, again, I didn't give him the name Vulture. He makes his money as he's a multi-billionaire who
mm-hmm.
got together with the Kochs and Langone. What he does is he buys up either countries that are diseased or industries that are diseased. Like, for example, when the asbestos industry was caught poisoning and killing its workers because they knew that stuff was murderous.
Right.
Langone bought up Owens Corning Company, which was worth next to nothing. So he bought it up for pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went on the attack and said that 95% of the guys who were dying of asbestos poisoning were faking it. And he got some nutcase to actually get on television and agree with him. The nutcase, by the way, happened to be President George W. Bush, who said, who literally, I mean, this is the President of the United States. You
right.
got guys who are coughing their lungs out. You don't want to die of asbestosis. You drown in your own lungs, and your lungs turn to mush. It's not a nice way to go. And Bush was saying, if these guys are dying, it wasn't because of his number one donor's poison. So when they changed this so-called tort reform,
mm-hmm.
Ken Langone and Ken Lay, Paul the Vulture Singer and Ken Lay. Ken Lay died.
Right.
Number one donor of the Republican Party became Paul Singer, who also put his money behind the Swift boat. He got rewarded. Tort reform, so-called, reduced the amount of damages to be paid to the people who were dying. They were held out. They had to accept whatever pennies were thrown their way, and therefore Singer took a company that he paid nothing for, basically, and sold it for billions. That was his big score.
Because he was able to flip it after that, after
right.
he reduced the payouts for asbestos. And he's done the same thing with countries, right?
Yes, he took the case of Peru and the one of the poorest countries in the world, the Republic of Congo, and for $10 million, less than $10 million, he bought up some old debts of theirs, long forgotten, one of the poorest nations in the world. He's now demanding that they give him $400 million for his $10 million debt. He has stopped all trade with the country, and when I say, I mean the Deputy Secretary, General Secretary of the United Nations, Winston Tubman. I said, if I could speak to Paul Singer and the guys working with him, what would you say to him? And this is the UN official. He said, tell these guys, tell Singer and these guys, do you know that you are killing babies? Because he literally, and this guy is a very, you know, he's a very straight diplomat. He said, but this is a baby killer. What he's done is he's taken, not only taken away their milk, what he's done is, the Congo is absolutely destitute, and they can't sell anything to anyone because it's literally grabbed on the high seas by this legalized pirate. I got to tell you that while in the United States he's allowed to operate, in Britain, he went to Britain, in Europe, and now in Hong Kong, even China has said that he may not operate there. He is basically abandoned, a pirate.
Oh, but
everywhere else in the world.
Yeah, but
here he's the number one donor to the Republican Party.
The welcome mat is out for him here. Yeah, and he's helping to choose the next president of the United States. That's just a taste of what you're going to get in Greg Palast's new book, Vulture's Picnic. Check out his new article at Truth Out and GregPalast.com. Hey, brother, thank you much. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you out here in L.A. soon.
You too.
Bye. All right, much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.